Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time to go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.
Thank you, Claire. A 60-year-old man is being questioned about the seizure of over €10 million worth of cocaine in Kilkenny. The drugs were found when Gardaí stopped a truck on the M9 motorway. Our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds.
The 152 kilos of cocaine were found hidden in the refrigerated unit of a truck to be accessed by an electronic hydraulic lift. The truck was stopped in Kilkenny around 10 o'clock yesterday morning, but the drugs were deeply concealed and were discovered last night after the truck had been brought to customs at Dublin Port and X-rayed. A man in his 60s was arrested and is still being questioned. A home and two businesses were searched. A major figure in organised crime in the southeast with links to Dublin and South American drugs gangs, the man has been a target of the Garda Drugs and Organised Crime Unit for some time. Assistant Commissioner Angela Willis, who warned business people just 2 weeks ago about working with crime gangs, said today the arrest and seizure was part of their commitment to target the facilitators and enablers of organised crime. Paul Reynolds, RTE News, Dublin.
At least five people have been injured in an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza. The bomb hit a United Nations headquarters site. According to medical personnel, those who were wounded included a number of foreigners. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said that Kyiv's allies should increase their support for Ukraine after the Russian leader Vladimir Putin demanded that the West halt their military and intelligence support. Speaking at a news conference this morning, Mr. Zelensky said that an unconditional ceasefire depended on the United States and that President Putin could not be trusted.
We hope that America will continue to work and pressure Russia in a way that to implement everything, and we consider the unconditional full ceasefire as one of the initial steps towards peace, and I believe that this year the war can end with a dignified peace.
RTE Radio and Weather with Grant. Future-proof your home and comfort with the HVO biofuel-ready Grant Vortex condensing boiler. Think heating, think Grant. Visit grant.ie.
A dry and mostly sunny day, however, some patchy cloud may affect southern coastal areas at times. Highest temperatures, 10 to 15 degrees. And that's all from the newsroom for now.
Brian, thank you very much. Well, as Brian mentioned in the bulletin, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is expected to speak to President Donald Trump later today, saying Ukraine is ready to send a team for further discussions with the United States on a ceasefire with Russia. Now, despite an agreement between the Russian President Vladimir Putin and President Trump, which called for a 30-day halt to Russian attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure, both nations are reporting that the strikes have continued overnight. Well, I'll be speaking to the former British ambassador to Ukraine, Lee Turner, in just a moment about what that phone call could mean. But before we get to that, I'm joined from Kyiv by Romeo Kokryatsky, who is managing editor of New Voice Ukraine. Romeo, thank you for being with us this morning. What happened overnight from your point of view? What did you see and what have you been hearing?
Hi, thanks for having me. Well, it was a very sleepless night. The Russians launched a mass drone attack on Ukraine, approximately 145 drones, 70 of which are confirmed to have been shot down. So that's a lot of targets hit. The interception rate wasn't quite as good as it usually is. And it was not a relaxing evening, let me tell you that.
Did you expect it to be a quiet night, given that phone call that happened yesterday between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump?
Oh, no. Completely the opposite. Every time Russia starts moving in the quote-unquote peace direction, it always intensifies its strikes as a intimidation tactic, I have to assume. But it was pretty clear that once they started talking, the Russians would be, let's say, unable to contain their exuberance.
Well, what do you think about President Zelensky's decision now to have another conversation with Donald Trump and to say, yeah, we're ready to go back to the table if that is what is required? Do you think that he has to say that to keep the military aid and intelligence aid flowing?
I think at the moment, we've seen how easily Donald Trump can cut off military intelligence aid pretty much at a whim. And I absolutely believe that President Zelensky is attempting to stretch out the period that we have the aid for as long as possible. It's quite clear that this the resumption of military intelligence aid is not a permanent thing. It is something that Trump turned on as kind of a carrot for us to concede to territorial concessions, I assume. But it's beyond clear after the call that Trump and Vladimir Putin, the Russian dictator, have had, that Putin has less than zero interest in peace, and he is just using this process to stretch out the uncertainty for Ukraine and to damage us psychologically.
Now, the Russians have said this morning that Ukraine carried out an attack on an oil depot in southern Russia. Now, they say it's completely obvious that this is another specially prepared provocation by the Kyiv regime aimed at derailing peace initiatives of the US president. So they say that Ukraine is doing the same thing as they are.
I mean, they can say all they want, but they're the ones that reduced entire city to rubble. They're the ones that run torture camps. They're the ones attempting a fascist and genocidal invasion. So what they say is not very credible.
Mm-hmm. So where does this go from here?
The war continues. It's, again, pretty obvious after the numerous Trump-Putin interactions that Trump is in no way interested in helping Ukraine achieve anything like an actual just peace. Obviously, Russia is in no way inclined to give us back any of the land they've been occupying. So the war continues with the hope that the Europeans get their act together.
So that really is what you're relying on now, because as you mentioned earlier, Donald Trump on a whim can pull the support, the military support and the intelligence support from Ukraine. So you need European support to be able to carry on.
We don't need European support to carry on, regardless of whether Ukraine stands utterly alone in the world or it has partners. Ukrainians will resist Russian invasion and occupation. That is simply the nature of being invaded and occupied. You will resist no matter whether you have help or not. However, with European support, we can actually win the war on a just basis, not to normalize the conquest of territory by military means, but a true lasting justice.
I don't know if you had a chance to see this morning, but I saw a report that the Americans have decided to pull funding from a $26 million program. And this program was aimed at tracing the 30,000 children who are believed to have been taken over the border from Ukraine into Russia. What does something like that mean for Ukrainians?
I mean, it means the same thing it would mean for any person. Those are 30,000 kids that are never going home, that are never going to see their parents again, that will be abused and gaslighted into believing their kidnappers are actually their saviors. It is an unspeakable horror, simply evil beyond words.
But Romeo, I suppose what I mean in the more general sense is, what does it tell you about where the United States is on this conflict?
Well, I think the message it sends is very, very loud. And that message is, to be a little non-diplomatic here, F you. It is simply a signal that the United States does not care about Ukraine, does not care about kidnapped children, does not care about human rights or international law or any of the principles that has bound our world together in peace since the end of World War II. None of that is relevant. That's the message.
But Romeo, Ukraine has to be extremely careful here in how it treats the United States. And I can see that with what President Zelensky is doing. We're ready to come to the table. I'm going to take a call from President Trump. There is a very fine line that he has to tread here.
Absolutely. But that is it's not a question of keeping the support. It's a question of how long can you keep the support? Everything that Zelensky is doing now is simply trying to stretch out that timeline. The treading carefully is necessary, but I don't think anyone's under any impression that the U.S. aid is somehow a gainable win here for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay with us if you can, Romeo. I want to bring in Lee Turner, former British ambassador to Ukraine and also author of Lessons in Diplomacy, Politics, Power and Parties. Lee, good morning to you. Thank you for being with us.
Morning, Claire.
You've written extensively in that book I just mentioned about understanding Putin's war in Ukraine. What do you make of that phone call yesterday and what came from it and then what we saw overnight?
Well, it's a very strange situation we're finding ourselves in. You saw the visuals of President Putin in the run-up to that call, where he was joking and displaying indifference to the possibility he might be late for his call with Donald Trump. He's kind of deliberately showing disrespect to Trump in order to show that he, Putin, has the power in the relationship. And it seems from the outcome of that call that President Putin's big goal here is to secure maximum concessions from the US and from Ukraine. He sees Putin instinctively, and because he's not an idiot, whatever you think of him, he can see that Trump is desperate to have a quick deal because Trump has this self-image that he's a great negotiator and he keeps saying he'll have a quick deal. He said many times he would solve this war in 24 hours and that only an idiot would not have solved it by now. So that seems to suggest that a quick deal is more important to Trump than a good deal, a secure deal. And Putin is exploiting that artificial urgency entirely created by Trump by continually ramping up to his demands in the hope he can improve Russia's position.
And in that context, there's huge risk here for Ukraine, would you agree?
Absolutely. There is terrible risk for Ukraine. We've seen it over the last month, starting around the 12th of February, when we learned, to our shock, I must say, that President Putin and President Trump had had a phone call after more than 3 years of trying to isolate Russia because of its unprovoked, ruinous, catastrophic invasion of Ukraine. That Trump had made that phone call, and then we had Pete Hegseth, the U.S. Defense Secretary, saying that the United States agreed with all of Vladimir Putin's top goals, that Ukraine would never join NATO and would never get its land back. And so Zelensky can see very clearly that this whole shift in the U.S. position, apparently to favor a win of an aggressive nation, an imperialist, colonialist attack on a neighbor by Russia, is putting Ukraine in a very weak negotiating position. Mm-hmm. And Zelensky has been doing everything he can to recover his position.
Well, we still have Romeo Kukryatsky on the line, who I'm sure you heard just a moment ago.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you say to Romeo this morning about how Ukrainians should deal with this? Is Zelensky doing the right thing here?
I think Zelensky, on the whole, has played a blinder in terms of managing a thin-skinned narcissist, that is to say, not expressing any criticism of Donald Trump throughout this process. You may remember that after the news broke in February about these negotiations, Zelensky was very quiet for over a week. And then when Donald Trump suddenly said that Zelensky only had 4% support inside Ukraine and that Ukraine had started the war, both of which are, of course, Moscow talking points, Zelensky couldn't stop himself from saying that President Trump lived in a disinformation bubble. Very, very accurate description, if I may say, of where Trump seems to be on all this. Similarly, at the White House, when Zelensky was provoked into questioning the idea that all we needed was some negotiations to solve this crisis, we've now seen how accurate Zelensky's querying of that assumption was. Again, President Trump and J.D. Vance, the vice president, became highly irritated. So since then, Zelensky's really been buttoning his lip, but he does need to continue to show that he is keen on peace in order to avoid any suggestion, as we've seen repeatedly coming out of Washington, D.C. under Trump, that somehow Ukraine rather than Russia is the obstacle on the road to a peace settlement.
Romeo, do you agree with that? Button his lip, but show he's keen on peace.
I mean, that is the diplomatic approach, and I completely understand why the Zelensky administration is taking that approach. But I think there needs to be an illusion dispensed with here, and that is the illusion that Donald Trump is not actively working with Putin to help Ukraine lose, to make Ukraine lose. That is one of the purposes of Trump's election. It was in 2016. It is now. It is one of the reasons that Vladimir Putin has boosted Donald Trump's candidacy and his presidency all this time, because they are working together. And it is like, we can discuss the things that they talked about in these ceasefire calls and what the Russians said and all of that. But in the end, everyone understands that none of that matters. Putin's the only one with agency in this situation. The United States and Donald Trump cannot in any way put any conditions on Ukraine. They can take away aid, but they can't actually force us to do anything. Mm-hmm. The same is the case for Putin, and the United States also cannot do the same to Russia. So the only person that can actually call a ceasefire and the war move in any kind of direction towards peace is Vladimir Putin. It always has been. It always will be.
Lee, there was some suggestion that there were discussions between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin around economic issues. And the reality is that we may never get to hear the details of what was agreed or progressed. Would it surprise you that the bulk of the call was about how the two countries can work together for economic gain?
It was striking, wasn't it, when we saw the White House statement on the talks, that it was full of platitudes about it would have been better if this war had never begun and we've got to sort it out and people are dying in the war, this kind of thing. And also there was talk of boosting economic ties. And of course, Donald Trump famously, as well as being perhaps the worst negotiator on earth on the evidence of the last couple of months, is sure that economic gain trumps everything else. And he thinks that if only there were peace with Russia, then it would be possible to reactivate trade between the US and Russia, and that would somehow make everybody very rich. I don't know quite what Trump thinks that the US is going to sell to Russia, or Russia is going to sell to the US. But he's desperate to show some outcome from these talks. And we've seen in the past when he was negotiating with North Korea in his first term, for example, that he set off with great goals to negotiate with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, and the outcome was a resounding zero. Same with his negotiations with the Taliban, where he negotiated over the heads of the Afghan government, and the result was chaos for the people of Afghanistan. So Trump really seems to be dancing on the end of Putin's strings. Interesting, your Romeo was sort of implying that Trump is actually working together with Putin, and there are these long-held stories about Putin having some sort of control over Trump. I can't comment on that, but what I can say is it's hard to see how Trump could be behaving in a more pro-Putin way if he were a Russian agent.
I just see in the last couple of minutes, Romeo, Vladimir Putin has said that Russian troops are completing the defeat of Ukrainian forces in the Kursk region. I don't know if you've heard anything about that this morning. Are there developments in Kursk that you're aware of?
Well, according to the Ukrainian military, the withdrawal from Russian territory has been pretty much completed. We've seen photographs of Russian soldiers sweeping through Sucha, one of the main occupied towns the Ukraine held in Russian territory up until pretty much this week. As for the Russians claiming that they won, well, I wouldn't call an organized withdrawal them winning, but it's a war. They will put out whatever propaganda they feel necessary.
All right, but listen, I want to thank you both for joining us this morning. And there will be more on this story later on, because we have that phone call to come between President Zelensky and President Trump. But for now, Lee Turner and Romeo Kokriatsky, thank you both for joining us.